Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about some benefits to understanding the operation and application of the divine principle. Listen as we explain how and why one is better than two when working with truth. In this show, we will discuss why Mary Baker Eddy, when asked to define a Christian Science healing, said, "The acknowledgement of present perfection was her answer." Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and be obedient to the divine principle. Swami, the title of today's show is Potency is Obedience to Principle. Those are three words I think we should dig a little bit deeper, but can you start us off by explaining to us what we mean by principle?
Yeah, here the principle is the divine law. And the idea of potency here is the perfection of being. The Sanskrit term is purna, or perfect, which means whole and complete. Life is perfect, and what we're calling life isn't that life at all. The divine life is omnipresent, and as John told us in the Bible, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. We're blind to the divine principle. And until we learn how to repent, which means think differently, we will remain in the cycle of death and rebirth under the law of karma. And the idea of obedience here is an interesting word because it really means to serve the divine principle. Doesn't mean we have a to-do list from God, but it means we are an avenue or a channel for the divine truth to function through us as us. And again, what the divine principle is the law of harmony, oneness, absolute goodness without opposite.
So, may I have a question about obedience? We've been talking a lot lately about being faithful and orderly. Would we assume that if we are faithful and orderly to all the things in our material world, that that sets the stage for us to be faithful and orderly to anything that comes from the divine world?
Yeah, this idea of educating thought up to spiritual apprehension is something we've been working with a lot. Faithful and orderly with the objects of sense makes us receptive to the deeper things of the divine creative principle. And this idea of attunement of the mind-body complex to the divine idea becomes a prerequisite for us to be able to walk reason through the open door of revelation. We must purify, perfect, refine, distill, and prepare the mind-body complex for this transformation, the idea of Jesus taking James, Peter, and John to the mountaintop where Moses and Elijah appear. This is all symbolism for this process in development as we begin to repent or think differently, as we transition from thinking with the five material senses and then having this birth of Christ in consciousness, where we begin to activate the seven spiritual senses. And it's all represented by symbolism in parables and mythological stories. But it's a real experience. It comes down to this ability to attune yourself to this invisible, intangible, divine law, which is functioning everywhere, always.
Swami, I know there's 8 stages to Kriya Yoga. So it sounds to me like you're saying, if we can follow these 8 stages, that's what gets us ready for this attunement.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we really stay with the Kriya Yoga that we teach, because it gives you methodology. It gives you a framework, steps you can follow. Not only work with educating thought up to spiritual apprehension, but also gives it tangibility, because consciousness is experience. The mind-body complex is the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. So how we think is what we become. And we use the mind-body complex to give us clues as to what I'm conscious of. Because if you understand divine law, the idea of accepting and living in the knowledge of the divine self has a profound effect on what is appearing in the material senses. So conscious awareness of divine truth must externalize. And like Mary Baker Eddy said, the true consciousness is the true health. One of the biggest problems, I think, today is, like we're saying, we're not conscious of the divine creation. We're kind of stuck in these modes of mortal thought. And when we get trapped in this thought loop, we find we can't bring forth the divine image. And so that's what we really focus on in these shows.
Well, I do like what you were saying before. Obedience really means to serve the divine principle. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about how is it that we go about to do that?
Yeah, man says show and I will trust, and God says trust and I will show. To be obedient to the divine principle, we must be in oneness with the divine law. The divine life is omnipresent, but for us to experience this truth, we must bury the mortal sense in the silence and stillness of divine revelation. And I have a really great soundbite here from Herb Fitch, Revelation of St. John, Class 1A. And if anybody is interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
Who had reached that place in consciousness where he or she could say, above all and beyond all else, my one purpose on this earth is to serve the Christ within. I am a servant of the Most High. That is my first and last and only function on this earth. To that individual, now as well as then, this revelation from God through Jesus, through John, was meant. Not just to the few disciples on hand in the first century, because Spirit does not work in time. Spirit works in eternity. Spirit works in the eternal now. And now, this message of the Spirit comes as fresh as the day it uttered itself through John to say that I am a message only for those who by their way of life are determined to serve Christ and Christ alone. Others who will read this message will receive nothing from it. Others who have not dedicated themselves to serving the truth, have read this message, and have received nothing from it. And the reason is that there is no capacity to receive this truth except in one who, through the desire to be a servant, has been opened up from within, so that their faculties of soul are ready to receive, pour forth, to be responsive to the Master's voice. This then, as now, was the message only for those who seek the ultimate glory of Christ consciousness. For what is required of them will be possible, and what is required of them is impossible for those who are not ready for that degree of service to the truth. To be a servant of the Most High is a complete emptying out of my desires, my wishes, my ambitions, my limitations, my fears. To be a servant is to be dead unto the self, to be alive only to the Christ, to awaken, to turn, to repent, to put Christ first, foremost, last, and always. That's why you have a very small percentage on earth who are ready to find the Christ. This is not a service in which you can divide your interest. It demands all that you are, and it gives you all that it is in return.
Well, Swami, that was pretty powerful. He kind of lays it right on the line for us. It tells us exactly what it is that we're supposed to be doing here. So to me, there's really no question as to why am I here?
Yeah, the idea that the purpose of this incarnation is to know the truth. That's what we're here for. And in order for us to know this truth, you really have to have the right information, because like we're noticing, religion completely missed the message of the Christ. And so we continue to muddle through this mind-body complex, this false sense of self. And it's right there in the Bible where Paul tells us that we have to put off the old man. We have to die to this personal sense of self. But like Herb says, once we are willing to surrender this false sense of self, then all the Father has is thine. So it's an exchange that we do. But what you learn, or what we've learned, is if you don't distill, purify, and perfect yourself physically and mentally, then you don't have a personal sense of self yet. You're still hypnotized. You're still being individualized by the world mind. And so these phases in human development become very valuable to understand how they work.
So we have something here from Bicknell Young in Addresses, and I'll read it. We cannot deny a thing and make it real at the same time. Whether this life shall be one of dominion or subjection is determined by the kind of thoughts we think. Thought is the only thing we have to deal with. All there is to anything is our consciousness of it. Do not think of yourself. What you know of God is yourself. Spiritual understanding comes more and more, and that is you. The dominion of man is simply the perfect law of God. Find out that you do not want anything, for that is dominion. End of quote. I'd like to get your thoughts on what I just read.
Yeah, the dominion of man is simply the perfect law of God. That's kind of like what we're saying. Potency is obedience to the principle. We're just attuning ourselves to this divine creation. And then, like he says, what you know of God is yourself. But the Bible tells us we must know God aright. Oftentimes we have this misconception of what God is. And so as a result, because how we think is what we become, we stay in this darkness. We stay in this false sense or belief in something that doesn't really exist. And with our Western socialization, we're approaching our lives 180 degrees from where we'll find this principle. We're trying to develop the false sense of self. We're trying to get more of the pleasures and profits of this material sense of life rather than liberating ourselves from the belief in mortality. And so when somebody like Mary Baker Eddy comes along and she's telling us there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, we're very resistant to this because we believe in matter. In fact, our entire scientific approach to life is empirical. And yet we find now that we're in the wrong self, that spirit is the only reality. And the more you understand of the operation of this divine principle, the more potency you're going to find in this incarnation.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, let's get back to Herb Fitch. I believe we have another soundbite from him that we could listen to.
Yeah, again, this is from Revelation of St. John, Class 1A. And if anybody's interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
Now, John is pointedly making the point that this is for the servants of the Most High. It is the word of God given unto Jesus Christ to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. You can see there that among the things which must shortly come to pass, there is an implied warning. And the warning is that even authorities on the earth, allegedly in that position of authority which can help lead men to Christ, will not do so, but rather will erect monuments to themselves. And this is the warning that men will fall into the hypnosis of their own self-will, that they will adulterate the Christ teaching, and it must be so, that men will go their own ways. Men will divide his garment. Men will pierce the Christ because they are a divided household. It is the statement that man of flesh can ever be the Son of God until he has renounced every belief in a life apart from God. There is no place in Christhood for anyone who still believes himself to be a physical, mortal being. And there is no place in the teaching of Christ where you can falter along the way and insist on retaining your mortality and still hope to be called a servant or faithful witness of the Most High. The very nature of Christ is life eternal. The nature of mortality is death. How can there be mortality in life eternal? And so the consciousness of life eternal becomes your consciousness. I am life eternal. This is not a fact to be attained. It is a fact to be known and accepted as the truth basic to all life. For as the revelation proceeds, it underlines with increasing certainty that on this earth there is only one life. It is the life of God. It is not mortal. It is the life of every individual who appears in a mortal frame. And whoever would walk the path of Christ must accept the identity of Christ, must accept that I am He. I am that self. I am that spiritual being who can never be divided and who is all. And so we are confronted with the need to pause from every mortal concept that we entertain about a mortal who is becoming older, about a mortal who is aging, about a mortal who is becoming sick or well, about a mortal who is becoming anything. And the servant of the Father says, God has declared beyond doubt, Son, all that I have is thine. That Son is Christ, and that allness is embodied in the Christ seed of being. and for that allness to be manifest, it can only manifest in one who is conscious that I am that Christ. And then when you have made that adjustment, that prime step in the acceptance that Christhood is not a state to be attained, but to be accepted now as the fact of being, that before Abraham was, Christ was your being, that now Christ is your being. And then you are discovering why there cannot be an external church, because the church of God is the Spirit of God indwelling your being, and its name is Christ.
So I really like how Herb Fitch is telling us about our true identity, what we are and what we are not.
Yeah, it's so important to be able to make this distinction, because what they call sin in the Bible is really what we're calling life. And once you start to plug this information into your understanding of what we're calling life, it opens you up to a whole new perspective. And then you start to see that this invisible, intangible omnipresence is a demonstrable principle. It's a law. But we must be conscious of it in order to activate it in our experiences. And then we learn that by thinking about it doesn't work. So being conscious of the divine principle is different than thinking about it. And that starts to open us up to some new information. We have something from Bicknell Young Oneness, and I'll let you read it.
We are not dealing with persons, places, things. We are dealing with consciousness. And because we are dealing with consciousness, we have to begin with ourselves. Because mortal mind is the basic error, we see clearly that divine mind is the basic truth. And being basic, we begin there. The Christian Science treatment is, and always must be, the conscious operation of the divine mind on the part of the practitioner. He must understand himself to be the functioning of that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind, knowing its own idea, is why we are conscious of our own existence. Mind, knowing the perfection of its own ideas, is a Christian Science treatment, and is why a Christian Science treatment heals. In other words, mind, conscious of its own perfect self, is a Christian Science treatment. The treatment or demonstration takes place in the consciousness of the practitioner, and this is as it should be. End of quote. That's why Bicknell Young is talking about the perfection of its own ideas coming from the mind. So I guess my question would be, again, how would we know what we are thinking, the ideas? Are they from our mind, or are they from the divine mind?
Yeah, it's very important to understand the difference between thinking, which is forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the material senses, and knowing, which is working with your spiritual senses. See, divine mind works in the absolute, and mortal mind works in duality. That's why we say in the opening that one is better than two. The divine principle is one, it's whole. Spirit is absolute and can't be divided. This mortal sense of life is a divided consciousness, and so completion can never take place in thought because it works in contrast. It is out of the Father's house. It's a branch cut off from the vine. And so this idea of thinking differently is very important. And then also the idea of a process, because in a mortal sense of self, we see the many, and we are blind to the one. And this divine truth, the divine idea, is before thought and above corporeal sense. And then the idea of the Christ. The Christ is the interface that makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. So this birth of Christ must take place in consciousness. These are all things we have to understand before we can accept spiritual identity. That's why Mary Baker Eddy talks about educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. And the parables that Jesus used in his teachings are wonderful if you understand the symbolism, because only reason walks through the open door of revelation. We have to divide and conquer before we unite and stand. It's the metamorphosis of a butterfly. Butterflies aren't born butterflies, they're born caterpillars. Caterpillars are insects in the larvae state. They do nothing but indulge. Well, the same is true with the human in the larvae state. We're careless, we're emotional, we're indulgent, we're excitable. But then the caterpillar doesn't wake up one morning and say, where do the wings come from? It goes into a chrysalis. Now the rituals, the ceremonies, the ordeals, the ascetic practices of earlier religions and metaphysical and mystical systems are a way of putting the human in a chrysalis. The goal isn't to deny yourself the pleasures and profits of the human world. The goal here is to become the divine child. It's to claim your spiritual inheritance.
Yeah, and we know now that if we don't have this Christ mind, otherwise, how could we be obedient to the divine principle?
Yeah, I like what Paul says in the Bible, and he tells us to walk by faith, not by sight, to develop spiritual sense and to put away corporeal sense. Like we say, repent, think differently, stop thinking with the material senses and start knowing with the soul. Because our spiritual senses, the divine mind, knows only the divine creation, which is the perfection of being. That's why Mary Baker Eddy said, the acknowledgement of present perfection is a Christian Science healing. We're not making anything happen. The divine creation is the only fact of being. This mental material recreation is the false sense of existence. And once we develop the capacity and the capability of piercing the veil of the mental material concept, being a faithful witness to the divine creation, then we start to experience the potency of obedience to this principle, which is the law of one. One life. You are divine self. And for you to experience the divine self, the you that is seeking, trying, striving, desiring, struggling, must be mastered and walk through the open door of revelation.
Swami, is this why you say when in yoga class, when we take the three steps forward, going from salutation to the moon, to salutation to the sun, you say, going through the open door?
Yeah, I always think of that parable of the Good Shepherd where Jesus says, I am the door. Whoever comes up to the sheepfold in some other way is a thief and a robber. And as we're working with this mind-body complex, that's the thief and that's the robber. The mind and the body are the thief and the robber. That we must master the mind-body complex and then walk reason through this open door of revelation where we now translate everything back to the one. One perfect divine life, looking at itself, as itself, of itself, and to itself.
Well, that's our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Now, in any of the pages, if you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and be obedient to the divine principle. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.